Christian logos this morning as we start off talking about our verse. You know what a logo is? A logo is something that you see that's a symbol that stands for something else. And there are a number of logos. Now, I want some help from the people in this audience who are underneath the age of 16. If you're over 16, you can think all the answers, but you can't say them. All right? But if you're under 16, you can join with me in helping me explain to folks about logos. So here we go. We're going to talk about the Christian logo that Jesus gave us. So first to do that, let's talk about logos. So to do that, we're going to look at some different logos and see if you know what they are. Okay, so here we go. Here's the logo quiz. You ready? Here we go. Here's the first one. What is that? Now, it's written in another language, but what is that? Now, you don't have to raise your hand. You can just tell me. What is it? Coca-Cola. You got it right. That's a Coca-Cola symbol. And regardless of where you go, it might be written in all kinds of different languages. You know it's Coca-Cola because it looks like that. And you've seen it before. All right, well, let's see what this one is. What's that one? Pepsi, yeah. And so, you know, we had to give equal time here to the distributors. And so, and it's Pepsi, and it's known around the world. You see that? And you know, where was Pepsi born? Right here in North Carolina. That's right. All right, look at this one. Here comes another one. What is that? McDonald's. Yeah, it's interesting how people know that. All over the world, they know McDonald's. All right, here's another logo. You ready? What is that one? That's a little harder. What is it? Toyota logo. That's right, Toyota. It's a car. And people see that and know that's a Toyota. How about that one? KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken. Yeah. And you know, if you go to China, you go to India, you find Kentucky Fried Chicken. They have no idea what Kentucky is, but it's Kentucky Fried Chicken. And so you have that. That's a logo that people know around the world, Colonel Saunders. What's that one? Disney. Yeah, it's all the stuff Disney. And Walt Disney World and Walt Disney movies and all the Disney franchise. That's a great logo for them. What's this one? Target. Yeah, that little dog for Target. And everybody knows that logo. And it's just really interesting. And this one. Yeah, some of the adults go, I don't know what that one is. Now, this is the symbol that they use for the movie Cars. And so the animated Disney film. And so everybody who's seen that understands that particular little logo. Well, that's what logos are. They're like the flags of countries around the world. They're symbols that when you see it, people go, oh, yeah, I know what that is. And it's a branding. It's a way of people knowing things just by looking at the symbol. And you remember all the stuff. Like when you saw Kentucky Fried Chicken, could you taste some Kentucky Fried Chicken? You know, and when you begin to learn those things and it becomes part of life. Well, what's the symbol for a Christian? Some people think the symbol of a Christian would be a cross. But you know, that was a symbol of torture. And that was a symbol of death. And it's been taken into our society, and all kinds of people wear crosses. I mean, you know, and whether they know Jesus or not, they wear them. I don't know if that's really a sign that we can look at and say, yeah, that means a Christian, because anybody can be wearing those. Well, what would be a logo for a Christian? Well, some people have thought maybe it would be the chi rho. It looks like an X and a P, but in the Greek letters, the X is actually CH, and the P is really an R. Don't ask me why. It's just how the things are in the Greek alphabet. And it stands for C-H-R. Well, what would that sound like? Christ. For Jesus. And it was a symbol for Jesus. And it's been used down through the centuries. Here's something done from first century or second century that has the key row in a stone that they carved in. And so maybe a symbol. Yeah, maybe it's also got an A and a W. You know what that stands for? Alpha and Omega, a name for God. And so just different symbols, different logos that have been around. But I don't think that one really is one. Some people say, oh, it's a fish. Because, you know, the fish was used as a symbol for the Christians. Many times during the time of the torture and the murder of Christians, during the oppression brought about by Nero and Diocletian, they would meet, and to meet, if they meet somebody they think they're a Christian, they just draw half of this. They draw half the circle. And then another person would come around with their shoe, and they'd draw the other side, and they'd know that they're believers. Otherwise, you just draw that, and nobody knows. And the fish was used by a lot of different people. It was used by fishermen. It was used by a lot of people in their day, so it was kind of a safe thing to do. Why would they choose a fish? Yeah, because of the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ, God, Son, Savior, is from the abbreviation of just the first letters of those in the Greek language. And you get the word ichthus, and that's seen many times. That means fish. That's seen many times in the symbol of the fish. And so you have that being a logo. But maybe that's not a good logo, because, again, anybody was using a fish in their day. What's the logo Jesus said that we have? Because he branded us and gave us a logo. It happened on the night when he was in the upper room and he was having communion with the disciples. And that night, John tells us several things that took place. Jesus washed the disciples' feet because they were not real friendly with one another right then. They just had some incidences take place. After he washes their feet, the job of a servant, and talks to them about that, then he points out who's going to betray him. And that's going to be Judas. And he points him out and says, "You're going to betray me." He told John that. And then, finally, he gives them a brand new commandment. Let me read the brand new commandment that he gave to us. Because in the brand new commandment comes the logo he gave to all of us. The thing that shows off who Christians really are. He says this in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this will all know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So Jesus here is saying he's got a logo for us. And it's significant because right before they went in the upper room, they were fighting over who would be the greatest. They had this fight several times over who was going to be the greatest. And it's sort of a me first situation. I want to be first. I want to be first. I know it never happens in most of your families, but it happened in my family growing up where children would try to be first, especially when things were there, you know, food and desserts and special. They want to be first. And here the disciples are wanting to be first in the kingdom. In fact, James and John really did this pretty strongly in Mark 10. They come up to Jesus and they say, "Teacher, we want you to do something for us, whatever we ask." How is that a loaded question? I mean, do children ever say that to parents? "I want you to do something, whatever I ask you to do." "Well, I'm not going to do whatever you ask me to do." And Jesus said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said, "Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and one on your left hand in glory." And so they were wanting positions of honor, sitting right next to Jesus when he comes in his glory. Me first. And when that didn't work, then they got their mama to go talk to Jesus. And in the Gospel of Matthew, we read that the mother of the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, came with her sons, kneeling before Jesus, asked him something, and he said to her, "What do you want?" And she said, "Say that these two of my sons are to sit one on your right hand and one on your left in your kingdom." You see, they didn't get her mama to do the one of us. You know, just trying to get mama to get them in. I know that's never happened to any of you, but you ever tried different ways to get favor? That's what they're doing here. So they were upset. It says about the disciples, when the ten heard it, they were greatly displeased. You know what that means? They were really mad. Yeah, and so, you know, here it is a situation. Well, in this situation, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give you." And he gives us a statement of the commandment. That's what he said. "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another." That's his commandment. We're supposed to love one another. And then he says, "As I have loved you, you also ought to love one another." That's the explanation. The way you love is like I've loved you. They got to hang out with him for 3 years, and they got to see how he handled them. And he loved them, and they knew it. In fact, John, the first part of John 13 says, "Having loved his own, he loved them to the end." And I thought that was unique when that was there, except I remember now that they were fighting over who would be the greatest. They come down to the very last night that he's going to be with them, and they're still fighting. They don't get it. But he still loved them because they still want greatness. And then he finally gave the result of the command. "By this will all know, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So here he tells us that the badge, if you would, of being a Christian, the logo, is how you love one another. By this, the whole world will know. It's the badge of discipleship, that we love one another. It lets people know. It's not a cross hanging from your neck. It's not you carrying a Bible. It's not you wearing certain kinds of clothes. It's not you acting whatever, except for acting in love. That is the badge of a believer in Jesus Christ. We love one another just like Jesus loved us. And I got to tell you something. If you're going to do what Jesus said, it's kind of difficult. Because there are passages in the Scriptures that say like this. There are a bunch of one another passages, over 30 one another passages in the New Testament. And they say things like this. Put up with one another. Isn't that a neat one? Why would you have to say that to some people? Because they're going to have to put up with a bunch of junk that comes from people. It's interesting to me back when we were reorganizing cell groups that we'd have people say, I don't want to be in a cell group with them. And my thought went right to this verse. You know, God says you don't have that option. You got to put up with them. Well, I don't want to. Well, then you're disobeying the commandment of Jesus. Because he says you have to put up with them. It says to forgive one another. That's kind of hard. That means people are going to be doing things to you that are going to get you upset. Yeah. He says to bear one another's burdens. I got enough on my own plate. Yeah, but you know what? That's not an option for you. You to bear one another's burdens. In Ephesians 5:21, it says to submit to one another. I'm not going to do what they tell me. Well, it's not an option. It's what we do in love. And then in Galatians chapter 5, we're told that we should serve one another. I want them to serve me because that's our generation. We want people to do stuff for us, but we don't want to do stuff for them. Well, Jesus said, by this, everybody's going to know if you're a disciple of mine, if you love one another. That's our logo, folks. It's not something you wear. It's something you are. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a clear understanding of what you want us to do. And now we want to ask that you would give us help in doing that task. Because we have to be honest, sometimes it's hard loving one another. Sometimes we get burned at one another and get upset with one another. But we thank you that you give us grace to accomplish all the commandments that you've given us. And especially this one. May it be, Lord, that in our lives we show forth that we're believers because we do genuinely, by our lives, by our actions, love one another. Grant your grace to us that we might do that every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.